Jenny and I were watching a documentary, and the documentary was about politics and religion in America. So if we had a soundtrack right now for the sermon, it'd be Jaws. Da-da, da-da, da-da. And Jenny and I were very interested in this as we love our country and we love the church so much. And it was just fascinating to hear some of the takes. And one of the pastors that was being interviewed was a pastor who had built up a really large audience over social media doing basically political rants. And so there's a big congregation that had been drawn to this pastor in this church. And so the documentary focused on this. And the journalist attended one of the services, and it showed this, some of the sermon. And the sermon had some, the pastor was preaching some political conspiracy theories as though they were gospel truth. Has Jaws got us yet? I don't know. I feel the nervous tension. And the journalist, it was interviewing the pastor afterwards, and he was just saying, you know, you had some really damning accusations against some people that you made, and you didn't, like, give any evidence, or what's the basis for your beliefs or your claims in these things? And the pastor, in his answer, one of the things that he said is, oh, I'm just telling them what their itching ears want to hear. And Jenny and I about fell to the floor, and we asked each other, do you think he knows he just called himself a false teacher? 2 Timothy, here we go. 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 4 says, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. And so that can, I'm just telling them what they're itching. When he said that, it was like, wow. And right now, it would be really fun. And what I want to do is I want to rail against all the other false teachers and say, what's wrong with them? And feel like I've got the moral high ground. You know, listen to me, but not them, right? That's what I would like to do, but I think we would be better served to ask this question. What is it in human nature that makes us susceptible to wanting to hear only what our itching ears want to hear? I mean, this is a really big deal right now. People talk about echo chambers where people who agree on everything just get together and rant, and sometimes it could descend into some sort of madness. But what is it? What is it in human nature that makes us susceptible to only listening to what we want to hear? Because I would love to say it's just that pastor, it's just other people, it's not me. But that would be a lie, because I know when I'm honest with myself that I have the capacity to deceive myself, and I do it. One example, my health insurance has asked me, and they're paying for it, but to meet with a dietitian. Now, the dietitian are looking at some of my health numbers, and they're thinking those aren't good. So one of the assignments that the dietitian gave me was to take a picture of the meals I'm eating so that she can observe the portions I'm eating. And I'll tell you, one morning I was writing this sermon about deceiving yourselves. I went up for lunch and I was getting ready to take a picture, and I had some meat and I was about ready to slather barbecue sauce on it. I was like, I don't want that in the picture. And I was thinking about, this is only my first plate. I only have to take a picture of the first one, right? And I don't want to say, I don't want to claim this. Like, I don't want to claim that I'm eating this. I just want her to see this portion of it. And I was really aware that I was trying to arrange everything to trick her and to appear transparent, but not really to be transparent. And it's, why would I do that? What does that say about me? It says that I would really rather hear my dietitian tell me what my itching ears want to hear. You're doing great. I don't know why you're putting on weight and why your cholesterol's high. It's a mystery. It's not your fault. It's somebody else's. You're so disciplined and great. It's not fair. Blame somebody else. I would rather hear that than, you know, if you ate less and if you cut down on your sugar and if you don't lather things in sauces, you could bring your weight, your cholesterol down. You might be more physically healthy. Now, physical health obviously isn't the end-all of anything. Paul said it's a physical discipline is of some value. But what is it in me that wants to be deceptive, even about stupid stuff like what I eat? What is it? Do I prefer to hear the truth, or do I prefer to be flattered? Now, maybe you don't have the same weaknesses as I, but too often that answer would be, I'd rather be flattered than to hear the truth. I'd rather present my best self. I'd rather kind of minimize the bad and make myself look better than to be honest, because I'd rather hear flattery than truth. So is in this too. So it says, Paul says, in the last day, people, again, think about that. They'll surround themselves. They'll gather around a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear, turning their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myth. I would rather believe the myth that I'm super disciplined and don't need to eat less and I can eat whatever I want and be fine than the truth that, hey, you know, there's some changes you can make to be a healthier person. And it's not just food. It's in all areas. So, as we wrestle with this question, as people who have this capacity to deceive ourselves, maybe you have less capacity than me, and congratulations if you do. But the prophet Jeremiah even mentioned that the heart is deceitful above all else. And in the New Testament, the writers of Scripture also affirm that there's this, with Christians, with people who believe in Jesus, this capacity that we have for self-deception. So how do we again discern the voice of truth versus lies? How do we discern what is sound doctrine and what's just what our itching ears want to hear? Like, how do we do that? So as we wrestle with those questions, I'm the correct teacher, so I'm going to explain it all to you 100%, right? So no more questions after this. It's going to be clear. But we're going to look at a few stories of kings. Just a few short stories of kings and what their lives were like. We're going to start with a guy named Ahaziah. I think that's right. That's my try. And this is what it says about him in 2 Chronicles. For after his father's death, okay, his dad had died, they became his advisors to his undoing. I was reading this in my devotional time a few weeks ago, and that just stopped me. His advisors led to his undoing. He also followed their counsel. So what caused his undoing? Ahaziah's undoing was caused by what? Not a trick question. His advisors. He listened to the wrong advisors. So Ahaziah has a son named Joash. And we'll look at Joash in 2 Chronicles 24:2. It said, Joash did what was right in the eyes of the Lord all the years of it. And this is better, right? So he doesn't repeat his father's mistakes. His son does right in the eyes of the Lord all the years of. And I was getting ready to finish this. His life is what I was thinking was coming. Good job, Joash. You didn't repeat the mistakes of your father. You broke that family pattern. But it says this instead. All the years of Jehoiada the priest. And I thought, uh-oh. I expected his life. But after that, I started worrying. I started being concerned that maybe this is like foreshadowing, and that Jehoiada is going to die, and Joash is going to listen to the wrong voices. And fears were confirmed. 2 Chronicles 24:17-18 says, after the death of Jehoiada, so he does die, the officials of Judah came and paid homage to the king, and he listened to them. They abandoned the temple of the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and worshipped Asherah poles and idols. Like father, like son. Listening to advisors, but listening to the wrong advisors. Well, he has a son. He has a son named, Amaziah. That's a lot. That's so close to the first one, I thought I got it wrong. Amaziah. So listen to this. Amaziah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Great start, but there's a but not wholeheartedly. So once again, if we got a soundtrack today, we could start cueing that Jaws music, couldn't we? But not wholeheartedly, but he's doing right, not wholeheartedly. What's going to happen? And just as, maybe you could guess, 2 Chronicles 25, 16 through 17 says, there's this story that when the prophet stops but says to Amaziah the king, I know that God has determined to destroy you because you have done this and have not listened to my counsel. After Amaziah, king of Judah, consulted his advisors, we don't even have to say what's going to happen next, do we? Like we all know, we've all caught on to this pattern. Once again, he listens, he starts out okay, there's a little bit of a crack, but then he doesn't listen to the right voice, he listens to his advisors, and what follows, just as his dad, just as his grandfather, is his undoing. Three generations of kings, their undoing came because they listened to the wrong advice. Is listening to advice good? What do you think? Can be, yeah. Yeah. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. A person who never listens to advice is foolish. According to the Proverbs, I agree with that. I think that's a good rule of thumb. But the wise listen to advice. But here we have, it's not any advice that will do. Again, we've talked about the pattern of kings. And this pattern, these guys were kings of what we would call the southern kingdom of Judah. Israel had split a few generations after David. The southern kingdom, Judah, was loyal to David's family. And then the northern kingdom was also called Israel. So Israel was split into two kingdoms at this time. And we're talking about the southern kings. These are the kings who were in the line of David and Solomon. And at the very beginning, so this is the great, great, great grandpa, Rehoboam. And as he started the southern kingdom, what happened was his father, Solomon, had gone wrong at the end, especially. And one of the foolish things that Solomon did, he didn't practice his wisdom, but one of the things, one of his grave errors that he made as he was handing his kingdom, his very wealthy kingdom down to his son, Rehoboam, was that he was really harsh with the labor force. He became arrogant, he became selfish and greedy, and he kept pretty much everything for himself, and he bled the workers and the people so that they were really treated harshly. So after Solomon dies and Rehoboam becomes king, and this is still over the whole thing, the whole tribe of Israel, everybody, the whole country is united. And the people come to Rehoboam and say, all right, your father was harsh. Solomon was harsh to us. He mistreated us. If, and this is an if you lighten the load on us and treat us fairly, we will serve you. If not, we're not going to. And Rehoboam must have picked up some wisdom from his dad Solomon, who did have wisdom, even though he didn't always practice it. It's two different kind of things, knowing the right thing to do or knowing wise and actually doing it. But Rehoboam did this really wise thing. He asked for time to consult some advisors. So Rehoboam asked some advisors, hey, this is what's going on, what should I do? And the older, more mature advisors said, listen to the people. They're right. They're mistreated. You need to go easier on them, and they'll be faithful to you. But you have to treat them right. You have to ease up things on them. You can't keep going in the direction that your father Solomon did because it was the wrong direction. So he listened to their advice, and then he called in his friends. And he asked his friends, well, what do you think? And they said, show them who's boss. You lay down that you're going to be even tougher than your dad Solomon. That if you thought Solomon was tough, you wait till you get a hold of me. Establish your dominance. And so, which one do you think Rehoboam listened to? His friends, right? And the kingdom of Israel broke in two based on that decision, and it was never to be restored under a united kingdom again. all because Rehoboam listened. He chose to listen to the advice of the group that told him, gave him the wrong advice. The earliest Proverbs, a lot of the Proverbs, again, were written by Rehoboam's dad, Solomon, who had a lot of wisdom but didn't practice it, especially at the end of his life. And a lot of scholars think the earliest Proverbs are from in the chapters of 25 through 29. And as they get started, as we enter into that little section, because Proverbs is a collection of Proverbs that was written by some different people and over different times, but perhaps the earliest Proverbs, there's a note in Proverbs 25:1 about what's going to follow for the next five Proverbs, and it's this. These are more Proverbs of Solomon, compiled by the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah. That note's really important there to us. Again, remember, Solomon was the last king when Israel was united. Hezekiah came 12 generations later, so that means Solomon was his great, 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 great grandpa. 12 generations later, Hezekiah comes, and he does better than Solomon and better than Rehoboam and better. He lived mostly faithful to God. He did pretty well in his lifespan. And I was just thinking about these collections that Hezekiah made sure were in the scriptures. And there's one in particular that I think really helped Hezekiah avoid some of the family patterns that were absolutely disruptive to him. It's Proverbs 27:6. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Can you imagine how different the legacies of some of these kings would have been if they would have followed this? If they would have realized that maybe what they were listening to wasn't the best? Because I think as we think about where the kings go wrong, one of the things, why did they listen to the wrong advisors? I think one of the things that we could say is that they would often listen to what their itching ears wanted to hear. Like, it's more fun to have advice that you want to hear and be able to take it, right? I don't think I'm the only one that does that. That's the one I want to hear. I'm going to go with that one. But the kings, they kept going wrong because they kept tuning out voices they didn't want to hear and listening to voices that they just wanted to hear. And it was to their undoing, to their destruction, to their demise. So what are you saying, Pastor? Listen only to the critics? Only listen to the people who criticize you, who are hard on you? Absolutely not. I like Teddy Roosevelt's little comment that it's not the critic that counts. And a lot of times critics, you can just sort of tune them out. But the wisdom of Scripture isn't listen only to critical voices, and it's not listen only to affirming voices. Both paths are to our undoing if we listen only to. It's not take advice from no one, and it's not take advice from everyone. As we can see, taking advice from everyone is not really even possible. But it can be tough if we have so many voices and they're conflicting. But as we wrestle with this hard question about discerning the voice of truth and listening to really what's best and what's right when there's so much noise, there's so much distraction, there's so many different directions and claims, how do we do it? As we try to discern what's true, what's from God, I think we'd be well served to remember that Satan is both the accuser of the brethren and an angel of light who appears to entice. And that our friends, a lot of times they graciously encourage us, and sometimes they wound us. And that our enemies, man, sometimes they criticize us and try to and attack us, taunt us. And sometimes our enemies flatter us. And the Word of God, as we think about what the Word of God is, John makes this really powerful statement in 1:14. We used this last week, and I think it's so good. The Word became flesh. God spoke and created. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. This is John and some of the disciples. He was saying, I'm an eyewitness. I've seen the Word made flesh. Seen the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, and he was full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. Jesus is the Word, and the Word is what the voice of truth is, full of grace and full of truth. One of the most poignant examples to me in the Gospels of the Word who became flesh, and he's full of grace and truth, is a time when Jesus told someone something that they didn't want to hear. He resisted that impulse to just tell him what his itching ears wanted to hear. He didn't do that. We call this guy the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler was a very moral person. He was very successful. He was upright. He was religious. He had a whole lot to offer. He was very impressive. And he came to Jesus and he asked a question. And Jesus, who's full of grace and truth, saw through the veneer that was on the outside of everything that was just great. And he went and saw the heart that needed to be critiqued, needed to change. And Mark gives us this really great detail. We think Mark probably got this from Peter. So just imagine, Peter sits there and observes this. And this is just, again, a powerful detail with Jesus and the rich young ruler. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack. Full grace, full truth. In love, Jesus looked at this man who was delusional. He was lying to himself. He wasn't all that he appeared to be on the outside. He needed correction and wasn't really willing to hear it. He knew he was about ready to reject him. But Jesus loved him. A lot of times the critics don't really love who they're criticizing. It's not about love. It's about feeling powerful in anger or something else. But Jesus looked at this guy and told him something he didn't want to hear. But first he looked at him, loved him. And in truth, told him again what he didn't want to hear. The grace of Christ, full grace, is enough for us. And the truth of Christ sets us free. The voice of truth is full of grace, and it's enough. And the truth sets us free. So the proclamation of the church is that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And today, if you want to believe, if that message resonates with you, this is just a time that we have where it's an invitation to acknowledge that in the service, that belief in Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, and an invitation for him to lead us. So if you would like to pray that prayer, just pray this with me. God, I believe that you love this world so much that you gave your only Son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. I receive Christ. Please give me your Holy Spirit to help me hear the voice of truth and follow where you lead. Amen. So what can we do? Everything that we do here is around the mission of making disciples. It's about following Jesus and becoming people who make disciples. Everything is geared around that. So that's the mission of the church, is to follow Jesus. It's not to follow a pastor or a person. It's to follow Christ. And wherever Christ, because we believe that the Holy Spirit can speak and say things that a speaker never could figure out. So it's far better to listen. Wherever Christ would lead you, it's far better than anything I could suggest. But today I do want to share some advice. It's up to you whether you think it's good or bad advice. But this is advice that's not really from me. It comes from another pastor, and it comes kind of secondhand in some ways. But a couple of weeks ago, Emily preached what I thought was a really good sermon on Mary Magdalene. And one of my friends who was in Lafayette was watching it online, and he texted me after he listened to her sermon, said, great sermon, was really affirming it and talked about how much it meant to him. And then he mentioned a book that she mentioned in there, and it was Wild Goose Chase. And so he's like, oh, that made me think that I need to read Wild Goose Chase. And I was thinking, Lativa. Lativa's doing, it's by Mark Batterson. Lativa's doing a study with Mark Batterson. And when I get that text, it's like, okay, I think God wants me to listen to this book. Again, I've read it, love Mark Batterson. It's just like, okay. And as I was listening, kind of from the advice of Emily and Lativa and my friend in Lafayette, there were these words that I wanted to share as advice from this pastor that I really think is good, but it's for you to consider. And it's this. This is kind of an application. He says, discerning the will of God is not an exact science. God will use a combination of the Holy Spirit and Holy Scripture to guide us. If, there's always an if we open His Word, God will open His mouth to guide us through it. And when the Word of God is conceived in our spirits, we need to act on it. The kings failed to listen to the voice of truth. They listened to what only their itching ears wanted to hear, and it was to their undoing. The rich young ruler heard the words of truth and refused to act on them, and he went away sad, missing out on some wonderful adventures that he could have been on. But Mary Magdalene listened to the word and acted on it by staying with Christ. And she was there for the most incredible, life-altering, history-changing experience, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have no idea the goodness and beauty in store if we hear the voice of truth and act on it. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, You are good and true and worthy of worship. You are beautiful. We are susceptible to being deceived in a way that will lead to our undoing. And we need You to save us. Holy Spirit, help us to discern the will of God and to act on it. With so many voices calling out, help us to hear Your voice above the noise. Help us to recognize lies, including the lies that our itching ears want to hear, so that we can be free of the deception. We can be free of anything that enslaves us. We can be free to love. We can be free to follow the voice of the One who is full of grace and full of truth. In Jesus' name, amen.